Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my radio show, Live Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm broadcasting from Marin County, California. Arielle Ford and Brian Hilliard are my guests for today's show. Arielle Ford has spent the past 25 years living and promoting consciousness through all forms of media. Arielle is the author of the international bestseller, The Soulmate Secret, Manifest the Love of Your Life with the Law of Attraction. She's also the author of a book titled Wabi Sabi Love, The Ancient Art of Finding Perfect Love in Imperfect Relationships, which offers a groundbreaking shift in perception, showing couples how to have a deeper, more loving, and more fulfilling relationship. Arielle has been called the Cupid of Consciousness and the Fairy Godmother of Love. Arielle lives in La Jolla, California, with her devoted husband and soulmate, Brian Hilliard, and their feline friends. During the show, Arielle and Brian will talk about wabi-sabi love and how some simple and fun shifts in perception can help you embrace and find the beauty and perfection in your relationship. You'll also hear about their upcoming transformational journey to Bali. For more about Arielle Ford and her books, please visit her website, www.soulmatesecret.com. Welcome, Arielle and Brian.
Thanks.
Hello,
Margo.
Margo.
How are you?
I am great. I'm so happy to talk with the two of you again. We had so much fun talking last time you were on my show, and the time just flies by when I'm talking with you two.
Oh,
well, thank you. We enjoyed it, too, and we're very honored to be on the show with you and be with your guests.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I just really, really love seeing the photos that you guys post on Facebook. You always have lots of fun photos of things that you're doing together, and it's really, really obvious to me that you live what you write about, Arielle, and you, Brian, also.
Yeah, we have a pretty charmed life, you know. It's I have no complaints.
We're trying to live our music, Margo, as per your radio show, and we love playing our music together, and we love connecting with all our friends and loved ones and expanding the circle wherever we go, and we're both very curious people, so we love to travel and see other parts of the world. It's really a beautiful ride we're having together. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's fun being along for the ride, thanks to Facebook, and you know, you get
yeah.
to see. Yeah, no, seriously, I mean, it's so much fun. I love seeing not just your photos, but photos of other people when they go fun places and do fun things. And, you know, it shares the love and it allows us to meet so many like-minded people all over the planet.
Yes, I call it leveraging love through technology. It's a, you know, thank God for this kind of technology. I know there's some downside and a dark side to all of it, but
mm-hmm.
with a loving intent and pure heart, you can really, I would have never met you and other people along the way. It's really quite a gift if you hold the space for that. It's neat. Yeah, it's a great thing.
Yeah, it allows you to get to know people on a much deeper level than you would be able to know them any other way. And because even the people that you know really well, you find out things about them by what they share. Now,
all of our nieces and nephews would never get a hold of us if they didn't Facebook us or personal message us through that technology. So we get to stay connected and share our love with our most intimate family members too.
That's true, and it's true of our son as well. He's 25, and so, you know, he wasn't the reason I got on Facebook, but it definitely made it so that, you know, we can connect through Facebook as well. So I love it for that. So you're right about that.
Yeah.
Now, the book, Wabi Sabi Love, is one of the main things that I wanted to have you on the show to talk about today. And I got a copy of it from the library, but I'm going to buy it as soon as possible because I just love it. I was reading through it. I've been skipping around in it, reading it to prepare for the show. And You did it again, Ariel. I love The Soulmate Secret. I love this book. You are just such a great storyteller and connector with all the different people that you use as examples and tell the stories in it. And it just kind of brings tears to my eyes. I love what it says on the back flap, at the very end of the back flap on the inside cover of the book. It says, by shifting the focus from what's wrong to what's right, wabi-sabi love reveals a pathway to true love and your happily ever after. I just love that.
Oh, thank you. Well, you know, most of your listeners are probably thinking, what in the heck is wabi-sabi? And what it is an ancient Japanese aesthetic that seeks to find beauty and perfection in imperfection. So just imagine that you had a big vase, like a Ming vase, but it had a crooked crack down the middle of it. The Japanese would put it on a pedestal, and then they would shine a spotlight on the crack. So it's all about honoring things that are old, worn, imperfect, and impermanent, and finding the beauty in that. So wabi-sabi love is about learning to do that with both ourselves and our mates. Because, as I'm sure you know, Margo, none of us is perfect. And
no.
Nothing's perfect.
That is so true. And you know, actually, think how boring life would be if it was, in a sense, though, because if everything was perfect, then perfect would have to be one way, and there wouldn't be, like, all these different ways of doing things.
Yeah, and a perfect person would be really annoying, you know, because it would be a constant mirror to how imperfect we are if they were perfect. And, you know, the truth is that when you put two human beings together in a home, there's going to be conflict. It's just natural, and it's very, very normal. So when you learn how to do a wabi-sabi shift in perception, you can get out of the annoyance part a whole lot more quickly. And if you want, I can tell you a very quick story that really illustrates what this looks like. Does that work for you?
I would love it. I would love it. I'd love to hear it.
So Brian and I have these friends named Diane and Jerry. And Jerry's significantly older than Diane, and they've been married for more than 30 years. And Jerry has an addiction. He is addicted to poppy seed bagels. And every single morning, he wakes up long before Diane does, and he goes into the kitchen, and he slices a poppy seed bagel right before he puts it in the toaster. But as he's slicing it, thousands of little black poppy seeds jump off the bagel and onto Diane's white tile floor.
Oh,
so he toasts his bagel, and then he puts his smear of cream cheese on it, and then he walks around the kitchen eating it, dropping even more poppy seeds. So later on in the morning, Diane gets up, and she goes to the kitchen, and every morning it's the same for her. The first thing she does is she gets some paper towels, and she wets them, and then she gets on her hands and knees, and then she wipes up all the little black poppy seeds. And this has been going on for decades.
Mm-hmm.
And most mornings, it's not a problem for her. But on one particular morning, she was in a really grumpy, grouchy kind of mood. And while she was wiping up the seeds, she had this thought. And the thought was, I wonder what it would take to never have to do this again. And that was followed by the thought, oh, that would mean Jerry's no longer with me. And she started to cry. And she got off the floor and she ran to the next room and she gave him a big hug and told him how much she loved him. And from that day on, every morning as she was wiping up her poppy seeds, her heart would fill with love because these seeds now meant that she had another day to spend with Jerry.
Oh, my gosh. I've got tears in my eyes, and you got me all choked up. That is such a great story,
well,
and it's such a great visual, too. I mean, I can see all those.
Yeah,
I can see all those little poppy seeds all over the white floor, you know. Oh, wow.
So that's a wabi-sabi shift in perception. It takes you from annoyed to enjoyed, and you can do it with almost anything. The only thing it doesn't work for is if you're in a relationship where there's abuse, addiction, or bad behavior, there's absolutely no wabi-sabi solution. You have to go get professional help. But for any other annoying thing that your mate is doing, there is a wabi-sabi solution. There's probably multiple wabi-sabi solutions. But it means that you have to take personal responsibility for it. You have to understand that you're the person who's annoyed by it. You know, your mate didn't wake up in the morning saying, oh, I want to drive Margo crazy today. What could I do to really make her nuts? You know, that didn't happen. You know, so if you're going nuts over something, they didn't do it on purpose. You just have to give it new meaning.
You know, and that's such a good point, too, because I think there are people out there that actually think that the other person does it on purpose to drive them crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah, but that's not true. We all wake up pretty much wanting the same thing every day, which is we just want to be loved for who we are. You know, we just want to be connected to the ones around us and have a life of meaning and purpose and connection and community filled with love. So, you know, do people wake up like that? Yes, they're called sociopaths and psychopaths, but chances are you're not married to one.
Yeah, hopefully not. Yeah, no, it's so true. I love that, though. I really do. And so, you know what I'm thinking, though, as I'm listening to this, is that this would also work for friendships and other relationships, too, not just for...
Yeah, it works with kids really well, you know, and you can teach it to kids. They really like this. You can use it in the workplace. Just anybody who's demonstrating annoying behavior, you can find a wabi-sabi solution to it. You know, but first you have to get past that you think it's personal, because it's not. You know, they're doing what they're doing because they think it's the best way, or they don't know any different, or in my case, I have blind spots. So when Brian and I first got together, I used to do something that, you know, he brought to my attention on a regular basis. It's a nice way to put it, which was I would have my cup of tea, and then I would put my teacup in the sink. And then sometime later, Brian would say to me, why don't you just put the teacup in the dishwasher? And I was like, yeah, it'll get there eventually. I didn't see what the rush was. It was only one teacup. And then I'm kind of a slob. So then he would look at the toaster and he'd say to me, and how come you didn't wipe up the crumbs around the toaster? And, of course, I didn't wipe them up because I didn't see them, because I don't notice them. And this went on for a long time, every day. Oh, your teacup's in the sink. Oh, and there's crumbs around the toaster. And it got to the point where every time I saw him walking towards the kitchen, I'd have kind of this feeling like, uh-oh, what did I do now? And then one day, he walked into the kitchen, and he said the craziest thing to me. He said, I got up in the middle of the night to get a glass of water, and I saw your teacup in the sink and the crumbs around the toaster, and all I felt for you was love. And I realized that you just have a blind spot, and since I'm the one that it bothers, I'm just going to clean up after you. And that was his wabi-sabi solution, you know, and now he does. He picks up after me all the time, and very rarely does he make me pick up after myself. But it solved the problem, you know, so it really works.
I love that. I love that. Dudley's the one that does it to me. I've gotten better about putting things in the dishwasher right away because he kept saying, why don't you put that in the dishwasher instead of just leaving it on the sink? I could totally relate to that and the crumbs around the toaster, all of that.
Yeah,
I have a feeling.
We all do stuff like that. Like, I would rather load the dishwasher because Brian doesn't scrub the plates as hard as I would scrub the plates. You know?
Right.
It's just, so you just make do with what it is. You know, our mates are really good at a lot of things. So praise and appreciate them for what they're good at, and then pick up the slack for the stuff they're not good at. It's not going to ruin your life.
So true. And the other thing, too, is the fact that we're different is really a blessing, too, because that way we learn from each other and, you know, can fill in where the other one, like you were saying, doesn't do something.
Yeah. I mean, it's true that opposites do attract. That really is true, and it's a good thing. Polarity is a good thing. There'd be no sex if there were no polarity.
Oh, my. Brian, what do you have to say about all this?
I was just enjoying listening to you all, but I take the same approach. I look at it a little, you know, in a little different way. I agree with Ariel about taking full responsibility. In fact, as you said, Margot, it really applies to every second, every moment of your life. It's just your own process. How are you going to respond? What is going to be your word? What is going to be your thought? What is going to be your action with every moment of your life? And everything else outside of you is a feedback loop, as I was talking to you before the conversation before we got on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Ariel, especially as a soulmate or the deeper intimate relationships you have, is really she's here as a guide, as a messenger, as a mirror for me to grow. And so
mm-hmm.
it's up to me to take that information, that exchange, that transmission we have constantly, and then process it and integrate it myself. So Ariel's greatest gift to me is mirroring back all these little annoyances I might have, process them, and come to a better understanding of gratitude and love and appreciation, expand my circle or frequency in those areas of my life, because at the end of the day, a messy little kitchen or, you know, breadcrumbs on the floor is very insignificant compared to what is the potential of Ariel in my life on a moment-to-moment basis, and that is to how much can we love each other, how much can we care for one another, how much can we take that energy and share it with the world and connect with people that we love and care for and, you know, really be of service, even go wider into the circle and be of service to our global family and all sentient beings. So it's just a constant process, like you said earlier. It's just that shift of
mm-hmm.
from self-referral, being in Brian the little ego self, to, you know, conversations with your soul. Ariel is my soulmate, so that's the level I want to stay with. These things are really important because they kind of give you that feedback constantly. You know, where do I put my attention on? Do I put my attention on Ariel making a mess in the kitchen? Or
mm-hmm.
do I put my attention on loving her with the full bandwidth and the full potential of my being and having that spirit live through me instead of contracting into, oh, gosh darn, she just made a mess on the floor, even though she does all the time.
I'm glad to know
It's extremely dangerous in the kitchen when you move through the kitchen with Ariel in it, because things are flying everywhere. I've got to put on a construction hat just so I don't get hurt. But you know, does that really matter? You know, in the scheme of things, not really.
Yeah.
So it's just I think it's just a constant checking in with yourself, and like Ariel said, taking full responsibility for how you respond to it. I think that's what a soulmate, you know, really one of the significant things, a intimate, deep, you can call it soulmate relationship, is. It's
mm-hmm.
it's really just bearing back to each other and holding the space for both of us to grow and to experience life at a deeper level.
So true. And, you know, Brian, while you were saying that I thought I was thinking about soulmate, and I was thinking it's not an ego mate, it's a soulmate, you know.
Yes. And quite frankly, that's, you know, in the world, well, you know, going even deeper, that's all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, actually, my soul is experiencing this life, and we're connecting with other souls. And
mm-hmm.
and so, you know, the process is continually, how can I grow and expand? And so, you know, for Ariel to come into my life, I mean, what a gift.
Mm-hmm.
you know, And you don't want to waste 1 second of that potential to really grow into the areas that are really meaningful for yourself and everyone. We all want security, we all want love, and we all want connection. You know, at the soul level, that's really what you can provide for each other.
That's so beautiful. You know, the time is absolutely flying by like it always does when I'm talking to the two of you, and I just wanted to mention that next week on my show, I'm going to have a really fun guest that I have a feeling you two know, and that is Sonia Choquette.
Oh, she's wonderful. I love Sonia.
Yeah. Sonia has been, for the audience listening that doesn't know who Sonia is, Sonia has been a teacher of mine for many, many, many years, And she's a playful and fun psychic who teaches people how to use their intuition and how to create their heart's desires. And we'll be talking about Sonia's work, but also how she's living her music and her new book, Walking Home, during the show. And
I loved her book. Love that book.
I did, too. Yeah. I read it, and I just couldn't put it down. I was just curious to read it, and I started getting into it, and I just could not put it down. She is such a great storyteller, both when she's doing her live workshops, which are I call play shops, and in the book as well.
I was talking to two dear friends who walked the Camino this morning, and you know how such an impact that experience and that adventure had on their lives too. But yeah, Sonia's just, she's part of the Love Tribe. She's our soul tribe. She's family. She's an amazing, incredible woman. And since you know her so well and have been working with her, you're going to have a fabulous, fabulous dialogue and conversation and heart connection next week. That's great.
Yeah. Now, I want to talk to you, too, before we run out of time, about your awesome retreat that you're coming up on in Bali. And can you tell us just briefly a little bit about that?
Yeah, we're taking a group to Bali August 29th to September 6th for a retreat called Manifest Your Greatest Unmet Dream, even if you don't know what it is. So it's going to be a visit to the world's most beautiful island, Bali, which is very gorgeous and tropical. And it's about being, not doing. So we'll be staying in this gorgeous resort, eating really healthy food, yoga, meditation, art classes, and an hour or two every day to uncover what's next in your life. And then, to deepen the practice, we'll be doing excursions every single day to temples for purification rituals, swimming in sacred waterfalls. We'll be meeting with Balinese shamans and healers. We'll go river rafting, walking in the jungle, getting massages, doing all kinds of really cool stuff. So it's something I'm really excited about, and we love Bali. If anybody's interested, there's a website for it. It's heartlabtours.com, Heart Lab Tours. And we're looking for people who are interested in spirituality and personal growth and visiting a gorgeous place.
It sounds wonderful. So you two have been there before at least once, it sounds like.
Hey, Margo, you should meet us there. Why don't you come with us?
Hope some of your readers, listeners would enjoy coming. It's a magical place, magical land, magical people. Here's the deal, Margo. The Balinese, for thousands of years, their idea or philosophy of life is to swallow their smiles and radiate that out to everyone they meet. And just when you're there, the air is healing. The heart frequency is so magnificent, so expanding, that when you get off the airplane and walk onto the island and see the beauty and the magnificence of it all, there's just a certain feeling that is so full of love, and it's light, it's soft, and the beauty is just breathtaking. But there's a real spiritual, beautiful component to the people of that magic land. It's really special.
I've always been curious about it. I've seen pictures of it, and I've heard people rave about it, but I've never been there. But I love anything tropical. We've been to Maui a number of times, and we've ended up meeting a lot of people that we know there, and so that tends to be where we end up going for for our tropical vacations, and I call them family celebration vacations. And I just love being in places though where it's tropical and beautiful, and where you can wear flip-flops and tropical clothing. And
it's a real state of ease and a real vibration that just is so heart expanding and healing. It's all those places are beautiful indeed. It's such a privilege and honor, and we're all so blessed to be able to, experience some of those places, because it is magic indeed.
No, it sounds just absolutely wonderful.
we'll be playing our music, and everybody there will be a beautiful orchestra working together and creating a whole bunch of music together, Margo, in honor of your radio and your show and your theme. So,
I love that.
We will be playing music in Bali, that's for sure.
I love it. You know, the thing is that everybody has music in them, and as Wayne Dyer's always said, we all have music in us, and we have to make sure that we live our music, not, you know, just stuff it down and, you know, whatever we feel called to do. And it sounds like your retreat will help people feel what they're called to do next. Is that true?
Yeah, that's really the intention. Seems like everybody we know is in transition right now. They're just itching to make a change, but they don't really know what it is. And when we're living our day-to-day busy lives and we're connected to email and our smartphones and the Internet and Facebook and kids and work and everything that's going on, we don't have the time, the space, or the bandwidth to hear our soul whispering to us. And that's what we're going to do in Bali. There's less density in the air in Bali, and you're able to go really deep. It's quiet there, so you'll be disconnected to your everyday life. You'll be in this new paradise, and we're going to take you through these really beautiful processes where you connect to your heart and your soul, and you can hear your higher self whisper to you what's next for you.
That's good, Arielle. Good job. I love that.
Yeah, and
you should come with me.
Well, it's
and Thai
so
massages really help too. Long Thai massages really help too. And Arielle is a great facilitator of that. And the woman who has been working with us and put this on for us has been going there for 30 years. She's been going back and forth to Bali, so she knows all the wonderful healers and wizards and magicians of the island, and we'll be introduced to them too. So it's going to be a really, really beautiful wild ride.
Oh, that sounds fabulous. Now, before we run out of time, I want to ask the questions that I like to ask at the end of the show, and then we'll talk a little bit more. I want everybody out there to think about this. What music do you hear calling you? What do you feel inspired to do? What gives you joy? Are you willing to let go of your limiting beliefs and let yourself live your music? I hope each of you listening will do your best to love yourself, love the people and animals in your life, live your music, and enjoy your time on this beautiful planet we call Earth. And you too are definitely doing it. You're living your music, and by living your music, you're helping other people live theirs. And I'm so glad to know both of you. I'm so thankful to know you.
Thank you, Margo. That was really beautiful. I'm going to continue to breathe that in the rest of the day. And thank you for having us on your show.
You're welcome. And we do have another minute and a half or so left. Arielle, what would you like to tell the audience before we go? You said you had a free download.
I have a free book for all your listeners. You can go to loveontheotherside.com, loveontheotherside.com. And it's a short book. It's only 55 pages, so you can download it easily. And it's about what happens when one half of a soulmate couple dies and goes to heaven. And it's also about my sister Debbie's love life in heaven and Brian's mother Peggy's love life in heaven. So it's a really sweet, beautiful book. And it even teaches you how to ask your loved ones on the other side for help with any problems that you might have. So it's loveontheotherside.com, and it's totally free.
That sounds fabulous. I'm going to go and download that right away after I get off the show, and I will put it in the newsletter, so when I send out the newsletter today that it'll be there.
Oh,
and
thank you.
Yeah. And I can also maybe post it on Facebook later too.
Oh.
It's a real
love that.
It's a real gem. It's Arielle just poured out through Arielle. It was wonderful to witness her writing it and then to see and hear the feedback from people that have read it, Margo. It's a really, really, really a beautiful little book, and very healing and full of love, full of great messages.
You know, all your other books are full of love, too. We're running out of time, though, so we're going to have to say bye for now, and I just can't wait till I can have you guys on the show again.
All right. Thanks, Margo. It was really fun talking with you.
It was
you
fun
betcha,
talking
Margo.
With you, too.
Send me
bye
a note on Facebook soon. Send me some
okay,
love on Facebook.
Bye. Bye for now, everyone.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.